professor said we had 45 minutes each, so I'm going to respect that. I have 21 points to cover in those 45 minutes. No, this will be quick. This will possibly be one of the fastest sermons you've ever heard. All right? Luke chapter 10, I'm going to ask you a standing reverence to the Word of God. We're going to start reading verse 25, and we're going to read two or three verses and go to the Lord in prayer. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this night. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you for the good people here, Lord, the good meal we were able to partake of. Lord, open our hearts and minds to your message tonight, Lord. Please, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as a personal Savior, Lord, I just pray that you'll convict them tonight so they may know forever that they're going to heaven when they die. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, when I start reading the scripture, I'm compelled to look. The first thing that just stands out on me is in verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." Now, I'm sure that many of you have read the story of the Good Samaritan many times, and even our children have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. But I hope to show you something from this message that many of you haven't seen. When we see the story of the Good Samaritan, and we see who is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing we see is it was a lawyer. Someone who's already educated in the law. Somebody, if anybody, if the child is our Lord Jesus Christ, it would have been him. This wasn't a doctor. This wasn't the shoe shiner. This wasn't the baker or candlestick maker. No, this is the lawyer. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying. And his purpose was to try to embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ for everyone else. But our God, being so wise, answered with another question. He said, "You know what?" In verse 26, he says, "You're a lawyer. You know the law. How readest thou?" That's what you read it. What do you see in God's law? Then he goes and says, "Well, you're to love the Lord thy God." And he goes into how many ways and how many different ways you should love the Lord. And the Lord says, in verse 28, he says, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Jesus Christ, resolve the problem, the issue. Keep reading, verse 29 says, "But he went up to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Neighbor, this message is impression or impact. I think, Pastor, we have done a good job of telling this world or showing this world that we're different. In a general sense, Christianity has made an impression on the world. People know we're different. Not too long at all, I was on the internet, and I have MSN popped up, the news, and I saw that there was an interesting title to one of the stories. It said, "Summer Camp for Atheist Children." Summer Camp for Atheist Children. I have got to see this. Opened it up, started loading, watched the video. This camp is out in England, and basically it's for children whose parents don't want them going to anything spiritual or anything that has to do with spirituality. If anything, it wants a camp that will teach their kids that there is no God. They have like four or five kids in the camp that actually spoke and talked about it, saying things like, "It was nice to go to a camp where, you know, there was nothing spiritually or morally pushed on us," etc., etc. I just thought, what kind of world do we live in today? What kind of world? You know, that's just, I'm sorry, but that just made me sick. It made me nauseous. To think that we go as far as making it a point to say, "You can bring your kids here, because here there will be no morality. We won't teach them anything moral or anything spiritual. They'll just come and have a good time, and you guys can be at peace." That's the world we live in today. So obviously, people know that we're different. Christians. We're Christians. I was told I came back home. I'm a Christian first.
Yeah.
Baptist second.
Right. Yeah.
The Baptist tells people what I believe,
yeah,
what my doctrine is. But I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I have to live a life as a Christian.
Yeah.
People should know that I'm a different just from seeing my exterior, seeing how I act, how I talk. So when I read this, I'm compelled to think of the impression we've made on the world. But you know what? I don't think that we should stop with an impression. I don't think making an impression on the lost is going far enough. I think God wants us to do more. I think He wants to compel men to have life-changing experiences. He wants to use us to move people in a different direction. I started a long time ago. Before I got married, I always say that line. People are probably thinking that I don't want to be married or something. But before I married, I wrote a lot. I started writing a book. I was 24 at the time. And the book is all about the power of influence. Do you know how much power you possess in yourself to influence another life? I have seen it over and over again. In my own life, I can mention 5 men that have influenced my life in such a way that I will never be the same. They're just their way of living, their way of acting, their way of ministering. It's just impacted my life. I think my number one influence in my life is my father. Ambitious man. Always seeking what God was wanting to do. Good testimony for me to live under. Well, He has influenced my life. Do you know what an influence you can be on those around you? The fact that God can use you to change a life, that's power. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. Letting God take control of you and use you in such a way that He can change men's lives.
Yes.
Says here in verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Before we go into the scenario, I just want to say one last thing about verse 27. If we're going to make an impact on this world, there's something that all of us need to know right now. There's something we all have to understand. And that is, if you want to make an impact on those around you, if you want to do something for Jesus Christ, if you want to do something for God, and say that you've changed a life because God permitted you to, there's something you have to realize at the very, very end of verse 27. It says that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Doesn't get much more personal than that. I love my way. I love myself in ways that you guys will never know or understand. Because of personal. There are people here that love themselves in ways that I would never understand. I'm sure there's people in here that, for example, maybe are shoe crazy. Have a bunch of pairs of shoes. Have shoes in the closet. They haven't used them last 10 years. But they won't get rid of them because they love their shoes. There's different ways we love ourselves. That's the way you love yourself. Well, when the Bible says that we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, that translates to me that I should love others in a personal way. So if I want to reach this world, it should be something personal. The fact that I want to go out and reach people. You know, one of the most personal reactions I had as a young person? There was something you just never did. You never talked about someone else's mom. You didn't do that. Listen, my mom and dad, some of the girls don't believe me still. I told them I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. My brother and I practiced for many years. And we were always taught in our home that we would never, ever, ever use any type of physical behavior with anyone. But I'll tell you one thing. My dad's a very godly man. And he told me, if anyone ever talks about your mother, you stand up. But my friends knew it. They wouldn't play around with me or that. That was something personal.
Yeah.
Don't get personal. No. If we want to save souls, we have to have that type of action. It's got to be something personal. We got to go out after these souls as if someone was coming to devour them. Which the Bible says there is someone coming there to devour them.
And that's right.
So we got to make it personal. Let's go quickly. I promise this is going to go real fast. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So we have a man in need. This man's a Jew. He's traveling. And as he's traveling, he gets jumped. I believe that's what we call it today. Okay? He had some gangsters come out and just jump him. They beat him up, took all his clothes, took all his money, and left him there to die. Just left him there to die. went on their way a little bit richer than what they were before. Then it said in verse 31, and I want you to see something in verse 31 and 32. Verse 31 says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest, jump to verse 32, and likewise a Levite. Did you guys catch that? What did these two men have in common? Anyone know? Remember, this is Jesus Christ telling the story, it's not me. What did these two men have in common? Anyone?
Religion.
They were religious people. The first one was a priest, the second one was a Levite. These were religious people. These were religious leaders. You know what that does for me as a pastor? That back home, people don't know me as a missionary. They know me as their pastor. I'm glad they know me as a pastor. I think they feel more personal in that sense. You know, that's my pastor. You know, I don't think people on the mission field want to feel like they're a charity case. And I'm coming, you know, to help them. We don't want them to feel that way because we're all about empowering the nationals to do the work. But they know me as a pastor. So, do you know what this does for me as a pastor? It puts my life in check. Because we'll see that these two religious leaders went by on the other side. We ignored many. But then we keep reading, the average Joe, the Jew's enemy, comes along, sees me, and helps. So the pastor puts me in check. You know what it does for you guys as members, as deacons, as leaders? It tells you that Jesus Christ, God, expects for average people to reach souls also.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not just my job. Look, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. At any moment, I can come by, see the need, and go by on my own way. Who's going to pick him up? We all need to have the same burden. So, it says, verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So here comes the priest walking down the road. And from afar, he sees that there's someone in the middle of the floor, laying there, half naked, dying. So what does the priest do? He starts beeline around this guy. And you know, I think he had a selfish impression and zero impact on that Jew's office. Why was it selfish? That priest is probably thinking, you know, I don't want to get involved. I don't need to get involved. I have something better to do. I have an appointment waiting for me. I have to go and get where I'm going. Whatever the excuse be, the priest did not want to get himself involved with this man in need. So he had a selfish impression and zero impact on the man's life. Then we read verse 32. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Pastor, this guy, this Levite, comes and he comes up to the man in need. The Bible says that he looks at him and he goes by on the other side. He had a heartless impression. And again, zero impact on the man's life. What was it? Why was it heartless? I remember when I was a young man, I was a young child. I think I was 13, 12 at the time. And for the first time, I had a friend that had invited me to do something in Niagara Falls. We were going to the beach with his family. We weren't necessarily going to the beach. They had a house out there, and we were just going to go out there and play and have a good time. As we were going, I noticed that we had run into a traffic jam. And that was weird because it was a weekday. Everybody should have been at work. There was a traffic jam. And we moved on slowly. You know, I think here the expression is rubbernecking. Mm-hmm. When something happens and people are just looking at us, at least here when something like that happens, there's a continuous flow of traffic. At least you're moving. In the Dominican Republic, it's not like that. People actually stop, gaze at things, look at things, and think of it. So when it was our turn to stop, and gaze and look at what was happening, it was a horrible sight that I had seen for a 12-year-old to see. It was four Asian men spread out on the ground and just diving on with us. An image that, to this day, I cannot reach in my mind. 12, 13 years later, I still can't get it out of my mind. I didn't even get out of the vehicle. I saw it from far. This Levite came and stared at death, stared at this man in need, was able to go on his way Lord, help us not to be heartless. There are people all around us in need that we see on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
That are spiritually dying and destined to die.
Yeah.
Are we being heartless? Then, we continue, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, now remember, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. They didn't even like each other. I think Jesus Christ did this for a reason. So God wants us to reach even people we do not like. We're to reach all nations. God don't want to send any missionary back to Afghanistan. Not after what they've done to us. God wants us to love every man in the soul, even those people that we don't like. So it says, the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Here's the key word for us. First step in having an attack of people is having a compassion for people. You have to reach people if you don't have compassion. It's not a personal job. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he had compassion on the earth. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Are we being moved in compassion the same way? You know, if you really look closely at the story of the Samaritan, we have a story of the life of Jesus Christ. I'll show you why. First thing, he had compassion on him, verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Okay? Says the Bible says, and went to him. So after he had compassion, he made himself available. He went to the mountain, made himself available to this man in need. So that's the second step. After compassion, we need to make ourselves available.
Amen.
Listen. I tell this to people all the time, especially when I get people. You can have intentions all you want, but if they're not backed up by actions, it's not helping anybody.
Right.
I can want to help people all day. I can want to help missions all day. I can want to learn a language all day, but until I start putting myself to it, I'm not helping anybody. And that's the truth. Intentions mean nothing without action. So he makes himself available, and after making himself available, it says, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. You know what the second step is? After making ourselves available, after having compassion on people, I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. After having compassion and making ourselves available, third, you know what we need to do? We need to sacrifice for people. It says right here, and went in and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Back then, oil and wine was riches.
Yeah.
So I have reason to believe that this guy was a journeying salesman, because my wife doesn't carry Benadryl and alcohol, and she used to before we got married. She stopped carrying alcohol. She doesn't go around carrying alcohol, band-aids, and stuff like that. She's not a walking pharmacy. This guy had oil and wine on. And the Bible says he didn't do like my mom did. Whenever I cut myself, mom would get the cotton swabs out. She'd wet the cotton swabs with a little alcohol and just dab it in here. She did like my dad would do. My dad thinks he's a doctor. Just because he was in the military for the first day and everything. He sees a little cut and he's like, get me a towel, get me this, get me that, and everything. And he starts pouring alcohol and hydrogen peroxide on the wounds and stuff. That's what this guy did.
Yeah.
He poured out on the man. He poured out on the man. He didn't care what it cost. He didn't care what riches he was losing. He just saw that there was a man in need. He had compassion. He made himself available, and he was willing to make a sacrifice because there was someone here that needed him. Continue saying, and set him on his own beast and brought him to him and took care of him. Pastor, if I was a Samaritan, my good deed for the year has been done. Saw this guy in the street, all beat up, took him, cleaned him up, took him to the hospital, stayed with him the night, and was on my way, left him in better hands. That was pretty good. That's a story to tell people. That's a testimony. But you know what? There was something else this Samaritan did. Verse 35, we'll finish with this. And I'm borrowed. When he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest for, when I come again, there was a lasting love for this person.
Yeah.
I believe I shared earlier yesterday, said to you, we're losing people because we're not gathering them after the one. There was a lasting love for this person, even after he had served and sacrificed him, made himself available and had compassion for him. He took care of him even when he left.
Mm-hmm.
Took care of the bill, told the innkeeper, which he obviously had his hands in, and he probably traveled through there a lot. Hey, if you spend anything else on, let me know. I'm going to take care of it. And left. It was the last thing. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world. His compassion drove him to sacrifice for us. And even after he sacrificed for us, he left. He left his Holy Spirit with us. He said, I'm going to make a better place for you. I'm going to make you a home so that you can live with me. And every day, he intervenes and works my life. Thanks. We take this testimony, we take this example, apply it to our life, and we believe that we can make an impact on this world.
Yeah.
And we're starting here and going out to the others. That's your faith.
Thank you for that message, brother. Thank you very much for that message. That was good.